بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. عن عقبة بن عامر رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: ألم تر آيات أنزلت هذه الليلة لم يرى مثلهن قط؟ قل أعوذ برب الفلق وقل أعوذ برب الناس. رواه مسلم. This section which we are discussing, certain verses of the Qur'an and certain surahs of the Qur'an which have certain what we call khususiyat, specialities, and we are given certain encouragements with regards to them. We began the discussion previously about what ulama-i kiram refer to as mu'awwidhatayn. The word mu'awwidhatayn comes from the root Arabic word ayn, waw, and dha, which has connotations of isti'adha, in other words, seeking protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Protect ourselves from various types of harm, difficulty. This is something that is almost a daily challenge. In this world, we are constantly facing threats from different directions. We are also going through hardships and tests, sometimes the physical self, sometimes perceived threats from others, sometimes from the unseen. Our greatest enemy is Shaitan. They also is trying to harm us at some point or the other. We learn from these ahadith how to use the Quran as a means of protection. How much protection Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in the Quran, we can see from this expression where the narrator is Uqba bin Amir. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alam tara, will you not see, have you not realized, certain ayats of the Quran were revealed upon me this night. Lam yura mithluhunna qattu. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the like of this has never been seen. In other words, so powerful, so beautiful, so effective. And we learn from this hadith and other ahadith what was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referring to. What is so powerful, what is so unique, what is so rare in regards to isti'adha, in regards to protection. This is why, like I mentioned, Mufassirin named these surahs, Mu'awwidhatayn, the two surahs of protection, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. We began the discussion previously, just to recap, with regards to the revelation of these two surahs. Mufassirin mentioned that Nuzul Hatayn is Suratayn. These two surahs came down when Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam underwent a very, very delicate and a very great test and trial and tribulation. There was a Jew living in Medina Munawwara by the name of Labid bin Asam. The Jews of Medina, they approached one youngster who used to make the khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this youngster was given a directive to collect the hair collect the strands of hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one or two things to give them, that is the comb of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the hair that fell from his head and beard when Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to use the comb. And they asked this youngster to give them that and give them the teeth of his comb so that they may make sihr, or what we call jadu or black magic, upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I touched on this previously just to recap. So the boy gave them what they asked. Then Labid bin Asam, the Jew, cast magic on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This magic, Allah Ta'ala allowed it to take effect upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His magic exhibited itself upon Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Its effect was allowed to last. He remained in that state for 3 days. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized during that period that something had happened to him. Things were not right. Certain difficulties and hardships Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam underwent. One important clarification which I mentioned previously and I am reiterating, that the great scholars of Islam, Imam Nawawi, Ibn Hajar, Qazi Iyaz rahimahullah, all have explained that this sihr did not affect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in any way in regards to his aqidah, his belief, his intellect, the revelation, the wahi that was coming upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his trustworthiness, etc. It only affected some human sensations like tiredness, perception. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometimes would do something and then momentarily he forgot that which he did. So this sihr did not in any way influence the nubuwwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The aspect which I touched upon previously, and obviously we ran out of time, is why did Allah allow this to happen? Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had what we call ismat. He was divinely protected from committing sin. All the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are divinely protected from committing sin. Likewise, he was divinely protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala could have easily not allowed this sihr or black magic to in any way affect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to why this trial was allowed to occur, ulama ikram mentioned certain hikmat and wisdom in this regard. One is obviously, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is commanded by Allah in various places in the Quran to tell us that, listen, I am a human being just like you. Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam are not objects of worship, nor are they, na'uzu billah, the sons of Allah ta'ala. Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were insan, they were makhluk, they were a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They underwent, like Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the latter part of his life, the sickness which he went, many, many lessons the ummah learned from that. In the same way, this sihr or black magic shows us that Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was insan, he was a human being. He felt pain, he got sick, he was tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereby the ummah can glean that should we go through any difficulty or hardship, we can learn from the direct practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself do when he underwent a certain hardship or difficulty? Second point which ulama ikram mentioned, that to teach us this aqidah, that sihr, black magic, jadu, or whatever you want to call it, is a reality. It does exist. It does have certain effects. It's important that our aqidah, so far as that, is corrected. In the Quran, Surah Baqarah also, there this aqidah in the Quran is mentioned. So this is made practically clear to us. More importantly, important wisdom that we learn from this particular incident is to, it teaches us how to react. When jadu has to occur, Allah protect us, give us afiat from it, how do we react to it? Not with panic, but with what we find in the riwayat, where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha beautifully mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam da'a, thumma da'a, thumma da'a. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made du'a, and then he made du'a, and then he made du'a. So don't react to sihr and black magic with panic, but react with du'a. React with the Quran. The greatest protection Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is the Quran. So use the Quran with this aqidah and with this conviction that in the Quran there is protection for us. And likewise, we react with tawheed, with belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one very, very more, one very great lesson we learn, that through this trials, tests, tribulations, we learn in hadith that even a thorn pricking a believer, Allah Ta'ala uses it to raise one's rank. Allah Ta'ala uses it to expiate sins. Obviously, in the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, expiation of sin will not be there, because Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we learn in Aqidah, already was ma'soom and sinless. So nevertheless, just to complete that particular incident, فَبَقِيَ عَلَىٰ هَذِهِ الْحَالِ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامِ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained in this condition, this trial, this test lasted for 3 days. He was very confused, he was worried, he had realized something had happened. So he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and various ahadith are mentioned, but one narration which I am mentioning, وَكَانَ يَوْمًا نَائِمًا Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sleeping. فَأَتَاهُ مَلَكَان Two angels came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَجَلَسَ أَحَدُهُمَا عِنْدَ رَأْسِهِ وَالْآخَرْ عِنْدَ رِجْلَيْهِ One of the angels sat at the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the other one at his feet. فَقَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَ رِجْلَيْهِ لِلَّذِي عِنْدَ رَأْسِهِ And then these angels began a conversation. In some riwayat we learn that the one angel asked the other that what is the point of us conversing? This person is sleeping. And the response was given, and we find in other riwayat that Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the Anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam, even in their sleep, their hearts are awake. The heart is awake. This is one of the special gifts which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam. So, the one at the head, the one at the feet, asked the one at the head, مَا لِلْرَجُلِ What is the difficulty, or what is the problem with this person? What is wrong with this man? In other words, literal translation. So in the riwayat it is mentioned that قَالَ تُبَّ He has been afflicted by sihr, by black magic. So the angel then asked the question, وَمَنْ سَحَرَهُ Who is it that applied the sihr or jadu upon him? The answer was given, Labid bin Asam, Yahudi, the Jew, Labid bin Asam. قَالَ فَبِمَ سَحَرَهُ قَالَ بِمِشْتٍ وَمُشَاطَ قَالَ وَأَيْنَ هُوَ قَالَ فِي جُفِّ طَلْعَةٍ تَحْتَ رَعُوفَةٍ فِي بِئْرِ ذَرْوَانَ Very, very interestingly, you find that this is actually, unfortunately we have time constraints, but a very, very interesting incident this was, and there are many lessons which we can glean from it. The angel asked that, after having mentioned the identity of the person who had done the sihr upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the question was asked, with what? What did they use to do the sihr? So the answer was given, with a comb and his hair. Then the question was asked, where is it? The reply was given that it is in the sheath of a date palm. Piece of date, a date palm was taken in the sheath of that, hidden inside that, there was the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his hair and his beard was placed in it. Then it was placed under a stone in the well of Dharwan. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this dream was informed of this entire thing. When he awoke, he said to Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, that these two angels came to me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed me of what is causing my illness. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Ali, Abdullah bin Zubair and Ammar bin Yasir radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. They went to this well. They drew the water out of the well, and at the bottom of the well was the stone which people normally sit upon when they draw water from the well. Underneath that stone was this palm sheet. In it were the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the teeth of his comb. And all this was tied up with a string upon which there were 11 knots. And this was pierced with needles. This sihr is such a dirty, such a filthy thing that it is mentioned in ahadith that those that will practice it, in fact it is a practice of kufr. The effect of it, very interestingly we find that the water of the well in which the sihr, in which this object was placed, upon which sihr was done, the water of the well had turned blood red, almost as if the color of hina, of mehendi, it had been sprinkled into this well. To that extent, it even affected the water of the well. This object with 11 knots upon it was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried out the ilaj and the cure that had been shown to him in the dream. Inshallah, we'll continue. Small night.